Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hey there, SWAF Nation, it's your boy Luke Owen here. How the devil are you guys? As this is an extra bonus podcast, I recently had the chance to sit down with Christian J. Riso over the phone to promote his new show Night Fight, which is on the History Channel here in the UK. And we talked about this show, which you're going to hear us talk about, which is a brutal, brutal show. It's basically like mixed martial arts, but with knights and medieval armor and stuff like that. And it's pretty wicked. It's pretty cool. We've been watching it in the office here the last couple of days and been really enjoying it. So that's going to be coming up. We're going to be talking about that. But we're also going to dive into some thoughts on his wrestling career. We're going to talk about the infamous Blue Dot gimmick. We're going to talk about his thoughts on Elimination Chamber 2011 and where the plans might have gone with him and Edge had Edge not retired. And we've also got your Twitter questions talking about TNA, talking about Paul Smackage, talking about his favorite finishes to sell. Just really, really, really great stuff. So hope you enjoy our chat with Christian, and we'll see you again on the Wrestle Ramble very soon. What's your plan for the day?
My plan for today is to talk with a bunch of fine folks in the UK, to the gym, get a quick workout in, and then I'll pick my daughter up from school.
Well, that sounds like a good way to spend a Monday, really.
Yeah.
So we're here to talk about Night Fight, which is going to be it's airing here in the UK on the History Channel. But I wanted to ask you, I mean, if you could give me the elevator pitch for the show, like, could you explain the concept of this show for anyone who's not heard of this?
Yeah, so in the US here, there's a league called the Armored Combat League. And these knights, they go out and they fight with full medieval armor and weapons, and they're the full size, scale, weight, armor and weapons. The weapons are obviously blunted, so nobody's losing limbs or anything like that, but they're the full weight, full size. And they go out there and they compete. And it's hard hitting, it's action packed, it's a combat sport. I guess, you know, in some circles it's called medieval MMA or even Night Fight Club. And it's gritty, it's tough, and it's amazing to watch.
And it is brutal at times to watch. I was just watching the first episode. I got sent a link across. And as a guy, I think it's like one of the fights towards the end, who is just being battered and he can barely stand up. But the guy's like almost keeping him up aloft with his weapon and then just battering him with the weapon even further.
It's a real process to it. You know, they start off in a grand melee, which is obviously multi competitors, and then it's whittled down to four competitors, and they fight in a team situation. And then from there, the winning team gets split up and they have to fight in a duel. So it's a long, grueling competition, and these guys are carrying an extra 80 pounds at least of weight on their bodies. So by the end, they're really sucking it up and using a lot of intestinal fortitude to get through it.
How did you get involved with the project?
Yeah, so my agent, I had a conversation with him and talked to him about wanting to do some hosting, maybe outside of the wrestling walls, looking for a new challenge, a new endeavor, so to speak. And he had a relationship with Matador Content and History, who are producing the show together, and showed them some clips of me and what I do. And they're like, yeah, that's our guy. So they sent me a bunch of footage, and I was blown away with what I saw, and I was like, yeah, I got to be a part of this.
And what's like the, as I said, because it's a really brutal show, but like, what was the scariest thing that you saw on the show and like in your time recording it?
Yeah, so there was this one, the cool thing too is there's all different, much like wrestling, the competitors are all different sizes. There was this giant type of guy, like 6'7", and he had three people on him, and he spun three guys around and was holding them up against the fence and left himself open in the back, and somebody caught him with an axe shot right in the back, and he dropped. Oof. And in my mind, I was like, oh my God, I think he might be done. Like, and I don't know if he's going to move again. And that was kind of jaw dropping when I saw that happen. And he was down for about 30 seconds, pulled himself up. And one of the rules is you don't hit a downed opponent. But he pulled himself up out of the dirt and went on to kick some ass. So he was, that just blew me away.
Well, it's nice that they have a rule that you don't kick an opponent while he's down. Like, that, you know, it is, there are some rules to this thing, you know, and some of it's quite gentlemanly, really.
Yeah, no, it is. The camaraderie is something that really, I got an appreciation for as far as the competitors were doing. You know, they're out there. Up until now, it's been a relatively underground sport. You know, they're competing in festivals and those sorts of things. And for them to get to the stage that history has given them to step out there, this is the biggest, you know, platform they've ever had to showcase to the world what they do. Mm. So everyone's going to bring everything they have, leave it all out there, because every single one of them wants to be recognized as the first champion of Knife Fight. I mean, and so you really see the best of these competitors.
It's really, really, like, it's cool stuff, like, especially if you're into, like, that, the sort of the mixed martial arts style fighting, and even wrestling to a degree, and so, like, you appreciate the sort of, like, the competitiveness of wrestling. It really is, like, it's a really fun show to watch. It is brutal, but it is fun to watch. You were talking about how you wanted, like, get into more presenting stuff outside of wrestling. And what sort of things, like, what sort of shows would you like to be hosting, you know, aside from things like Knife Fight?
Yeah, whatever that I found, appealing that I felt like was a challenge, you know. And that was the thing to me when I stepped out of wrestling, when I retired, was, okay, you know, I felt like, you know, I was one of the best wrestling, doing what I was doing when I was competing. I felt like I was one of the very best, and the goal was, okay, what's the next challenge when I'm not doing that anymore? What are the steps I need to take to get back to trying to be the best at something else? So whatever, I don't know, I wouldn't limit myself to anything. I just, whatever I felt would be a challenge, something that I felt strongly about, like I did with Knife Fight, and like I do about Knife Fight, I felt really attached to it, and I felt a real strong sense that I needed to, in my duties, help these guys paint their pictures and tell their stories and let the people in on what they were seeing, for the world to get an appreciation for that. So I think if I could find that attachment and something that I care about in the same sense, then yeah, it doesn't, I wouldn't really limit it to any certain thing.
You mentioned your wrestling career there. So, I mean, do you mind if we switch gears and talk about that for a bit?
Sure.
Yeah. Bruce Pritchard on his Something to Wrestle podcast has kind of confirmed a longstanding rumor that one of the gimmicks that was pitched to you was the blue dot gimmick, where they would have a blue dot kind of following your face, which I've always found to be a really strange gimmick because, I think you're a really good looking guy. So I don't know why they would then want to like cover up your face. But like, what did you ever hear about that story?
Same thing, just rumors about it. You know, I never really heard anything concrete or whatever. Just that, it was what it was. And so, I didn't take offense to it. It was just a storyline thing. So to try to get heat on a guy that was not liked by the crowd. So it is what it is.
And we recently watched Elimination Chamber 2011 for our Patreon podcast. And you kind of make your return at that to attack Del Rio after after Edge wins the Chamber match. And it almost felt like there were plans to move forward with like a triple threat feud between the three of you over the title. But obviously then Edge's retirement happened a month later. Did you know if there were any sort of plans for you three to kind of feud over the belt together?
Nope, there was no plans for that. I think the plan was at the time for Edge to lose the title to Del Rio. And then he and I would kind of rekindle our tag team and go on a run with that. And then eventually split off and feud. That was, I think, the intended destination for that.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's fascinating. It would have been really cool, actually, to have sort of like the ENC reunion in 2011. That would have been really cool. Obviously, very sad for what happened to Edge. At least you got your podcast you get to do together now. So we got a reunion of sorts.
Yeah, right. Silliness, but just an audio.
Yeah. Well, sometimes that's just as good. Speaking of like cancel plans, there was some other rumors that when you were coming back from TNA, that you were going to be the guy that was attacking Jeff Hardy in late 2008, and then it was revealed to be Matt Hardy instead. Any truth behind those rumors?
I heard that it was brought up or on the table, but I know for sure that it wasn't a concrete plan. Like I said, I think it would have been floated, but I think the plan was always to go Matt, but I think it had been brought up a time or two. I think the original plan for me, I think when I came back was a feud with CM Punk, I think, actually.
Oh, wow.
But, some other plans had changed, and Matt had been moved off of ECW because he did the turn, and they were trying to elevate ECW, and they needed a strong babyface established star to kind of guide that show. So I was put there, and I was really excited about that challenge as well, to be seen as the guy that could carry a show.
Oh, that's awesome. Talking about really awesome things in wrestling at the moment, I think everyone's talking about All Elite Wrestling, and I'm sure lots of people have already asked you your thoughts on AEW, but like, just what are your sort of general thoughts on this new promotion? Would you ever consider being involved in it in some way?
I think it's a great story, the way that it all came together, kind of grassroots type stuff. You have some driven guys like Cody and Young Bucks and others that have been involved with kind of, lifting this thing up to where it is. So I think it's a pretty big endeavor, but I think that they're all excited about it, and they've obviously had some big signings with Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega. So, I think that as long as they focus on being themselves and offering something different, I think they'll be fine.
I mean, you've got your deal with WWE for your network show. So I guess could that kind of like stop you from possibly getting on board with this if you ever wanted to?
I don't know. I honestly haven't even thought about that. I have a great relationship with WWE, obviously, with the Edge and Christian show that's on the network, and that's kind of my focus at this point. And we're getting ready to wrap up the second season, and we'll see if we do a third. So everything is good on that front.
Cool. Well, I mean, I put a call out on Twitter for any questions that people might have to ask you, because you, I don't know if you're aware of this, but you've got quite a lot of fans, and people have been very into your career. I'll be honest, I'm one of them. I've been a big fan of yours for many years, and I was one of those guys that was super stoked when you went across to TNA, because I'm like, finally, he's going to get that big world championship push. It's time. This is what we've been waiting for ages. So I put a call out on Twitter for people to ask questions, and I got hundreds of responses in, but so I'm going to go to some of those now. Tall for All asks, what is your favorite TNA match?
Probably maybe I had two really good ones with Samoa Joe that I really liked. One where I was at Bound for Glory, where he beat me when I'd been undefeated for the entire time I was there. And he beat me. That was really good. And we had another really good match on a pay-per-view when I was world champion that I really liked.
Dorima 10 asks, do you miss your puffy brood shirts?
I put it on from time to time. I still have it ironed in the closet and just wear it around the house, the lounges.
Justin Curtis asks, what's your take on the state of tag team wrestling today compared to when you were tagging with Edge?
Well, I think that they had, with us, we had the Hardys and the Dudleys, and we kind of captured lightning in a bottle with the chemistry those three teams had, and we kind of, forced their hand that this was something that needed to be on the show every single week. And I see a lot of talent on the shows that are capable of doing that. So it seems like at this point, with the Revival and Root and Gable and obviously the Usos are always in that mix, stepping up and doing some good things. Hopefully we can get back to that again, because to me, a good tag match is always capable of stealing any show that it's on, no matter who's on there.
Yeah, completely agree. We were actually watching WrestleMania X7 quite recently for our Patreon podcast, and that TLC match is just, it's incredible. And the chemistry that that you guys had was absolutely insane. McScrubberDub asks, why isn't Paul Smackage world champion?
I think he's champion in his mind. So I think that's good enough for him.
Ewan asked, what is your favorite finisher to sell?
I think probably the last ride from The Undertaker. I always try to put a little something into it whenever he would lift me up. I always flail my arms around crazy and try to make it look as devastating as it was. And then, you know, when you hit the mat, kind of come up and do a big sell on it. So I think that was probably my favorite one to sell.
Wally to Go asks, when did you find out exactly that you wouldn't be wrestling anymore? And do you ever feel regretful that you never got to do a retirement speech?
I found out it was a few months after I had done some testing and things like that for my injuries. And just when we got all the results back, we just the medical staff and myself and a few other people were in the room, and we just collectively decided that it was time to pack it in. And like I said, it was a few months after I had been taken off TV, so it would have been a little strange to go back and be like, hey, remember, you know, 4 or 5 months ago when I all of a sudden got hurt? Well, guess what? I can't come back. I just never felt I really needed that or wanted it, and I'm completely fine without it.
Jack Blewett asked, if you could have one more match against a current WWE star, who would it be?
Probably AJ Styles. I wrestled him in TNA, but he's really obviously stepped up and come a long way from his time there. And I think he and I would tear it down. So I think that would probably be the guy.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Jay. I really, really appreciate it. And good luck with the show. Good luck with presenting in the future. And I hope we see more of you on TV.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.